This week's Parsha begins our introduction, our real introduction to Yaakov Avinu and his legacy for Klal Yisrael. But as an introduction to that introduction, we have to review, hopefully for many of you it's review, although I suspect for some of you it's going to be more of a new insight, certain things that the Ramchal teaches us in Derech Hashem. Derech Hashem is the fundamental treatise on creation, purpose, and how that purpose is accomplished. And the Ramchal teaches us that we are in this world, we are created in this world in order to create our eternity, our eternal connection with the Creator. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Ha'olam hazeh domeh leprozdor, Bifnei olam haba, this world is like an entryway, a hallway to the next world. Hatkein atzmecha beprozdor, prepare yourself in the hallway, kedei shetikanes letraklin, so that you can properly enter the banquet hall, the palace. How do we accomplish this? What are we supposed to do in this world to get into the next world? And the Ramchal says, basically, we have to attain perfection through making correct choices. There is a conflict between good and evil, spiritual, physical, and the challenge is to choose the good and to choose the spiritual to control the physical. So, for that to happen, there have to be these two opposing forces. There has to be the physical, the material, the body, and the spiritual, the transcendent, the neshama. And because of the sin of Adam HaRishon, the balance in this conflict between physical and spiritual is tilted strongly in favor of the material. So if you ever felt that, you know, you really feel that your physical is just overcoming your spiritual and it's such a tough struggle, you're right. It's not an equal battle. The deck is not stacked equally, but the man's physical drives became much stronger than his spiritual intellect. His physical needs occupy a significant amount of his time and resources. He's completely controlled by physical needs and desires and drives, and it requires great effort, says the Ramchal, to impose our intellectual prowess to control our physical drives. He writes there in the first section, fourth chapter, paragraph Gimel, how difficult the objective situation is. Hamakom asher hu bitocho. Not only do we have a physical body that occupies most of our time and needs, but hamakom asher bitocho, the world that we live in, is gamken chomri v'choshech. The physical world that we live in is one of darkness, and all of the things that exist in it are physical. The Asek Shela Adam Bo Olamo, and all of our involvement is very materialistic because of all our needs, because we have a need for sleep and for eat and to build a family and to make a living, says the Ramchal. So, with all of these needs, how is it possible that we could ever win the battle between the spiritual and the physical? And the Ramchal in the next paragraph explains how HaKadosh Baruch Hu set it up, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu programmed creation to give us the opportunity for success, because ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to succeed. That's why He created us. And the mechanism that He gave us that enables us to have a spiritual illumination is the fact that there are physical activities that when we engage in those physical activities, they can become imbued with spirituality, and the physical activity itself can elevate our physical and illuminate it. And of course, those activities are the mitzvos. We may not understand, we may not even feel how it works, but Revelation tells us that when we perform those mitzvos in our interaction with the physical world, and when we refrain from interacting with the physical world in ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has proscribed by telling us that these interactions debase our spiritual and amplify the physical, so we can overcome the inherent balance that is created by our physical needs in a world that is physical, and we're completely surrounded by material and physical realities. The foundation of these activities are the mitzvos esseh and the mitzvos lo taseh. And these two dimensions of mitzvos have become part of our reality through the avos, Avraham and Yitzchak. Avraham, with his midas hachesed, empowered us in the fulfillment of mitzvos esseh, ahava, because when you talk about ahava, love, you're talking about giving, about doing. So the mitzvos esseh are a manifestation of the midah of ahava, of love of Hashem. And the mitzvos lo ta'aseh, the root of that is with Yitzchak, in Yira, in Avoda, where we refrain from doing the things we're not supposed to do, and that's the root of Yira, the fear of not doing something wrong. So that's Avram, Ava and Chesed, that's Yitzchak, Yira and Avoda, and now we have Yaakov, and we can ask a very simple question: what is there left? We took care of the mitzvos esseh, we took care of the mitzvos lo taseh. What is there left for Yaakov to give us? And Yaakov is called the Bechir Ha'avos. He's called the highest level of the forefathers. And now when we look at this week's Parsha, next week's Parsha, the Parsha after it, we're looking at all the stories of Yaakov, and we want to compare those stories to the stories of Avram and Yitzchak. So Avram was a life of chesed, kiruv, monotheism. Yitzchak was a life of sacrifice, spiritual elevation. We look at Yaakov, and what do we see? He heads off looking for a wife. He's involved in work. He's involved in building a family. And he has a very tough life. He's running from a brother that's trying to kill him to a father-in-law that's cheating him. And next week's Parsha, we're going to have him move into a city where his daughter is raped. And then when he finally settles down with his family, his favorite son disappears. A very tough life. This doesn't sound very elevating and very spiritual compared to Avram and Yitzchak. So what Yaakov inculcated to the Jewish people was a third dimension. We have mitzvos esseh, things we have to do. And we have mitzvos lo taseh, things we're not allowed to do. And most of our day and most of our time is spent not involved in esseh and not involved in lo taseh. It's involved in what is called divrei harishus. Optional activities. On Pesach night, you have to eat matzah. And when you go into the pizza shop, you can't have a pizza that's not kosher. But when you went to sleep last night, or you had breakfast this morning, it's hard to say that you were involved in any kind of a spiritual activity. There wasn't an essay, there wasn't a lotasay, you didn't even have to worry about the hechsher, so there's no lotasay, and it wasn't Pesach, so when you ate your bread or your matzah, you weren't really involved in any kind of a positive mitzvah. You were involved in what's called divrei harishus. Optional activities. And says the Ramchal, and I will read you a small section from it a little further on in that chapter, that this was another aspect of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the opportunity, with the deck apparently stacked against us, gave us the opportunity to succeed. So the Ramchal writes, Mashahadam mishtamesh min haolam litzorko. When man uses the world for his own needs, which are basically physical activities, hinei tzarich tchila sheyeh mugbal bigvul ritzono. You certainly have to make sure it's limited to what God wanted you to do, that there can't be any prohibitions involved. But more importantly, you have to have a motivation that it should be ra'ui livriyut haguf v'kiyum chiyuto al hatzad ayoter tov. The motivation has to be, why are you doing this? I'm doing this so that my physical dimension can be operating at prime efficiency. Not that I'm indulging in immediate gratification, self-gratification, hedonistic pleasure, but rather that my body should be primed and prepared, that the spiritual dimension can use the physical resources litzorech avodat boro, in order to serve God better. Sheloti matzei ikuv beheder achanato v'chulshato. There shouldn't be any preventatives, any barriers, because of your physical weaknesses or limitations in serving God. So when you went to sleep, if you did it with the proper motivation, when you ate a meal with the proper motivation and the proper resources, then when you use the physical world for this motivation, then the use of the world that way itself activates and accomplishes perfection. And you will now acquire an elevated perfection by doing what appears to be a simple mundane activity. First of all, because there's one of the 613, is Ushmartem od l'nafshotechem, they have to take care of your physical body, so that it should be a resource to fulfill the will of God. But he says even more, but the motivation, the purposeful use of the physical dimension itself becomes an elevating activity. So using the physical world to enable us to better serve God, whether it's as a tool for our physicality, whether I use the world to help other people for a sanctification of God's name, all of these activities, they become part of the elevating spiritual activities, as impactful, in fact, says the Ramchal on a certain level, he says, "Ugmishtamesh b'olam lekavanazu l'tachlit zu kefi amitztarech lanu, nimtzeinu anachnu mitalim b'maaseh hazeh," and it becomes as elevating as a mitzvah itself. This is what Yaakov gave us. This is the legacy of Yaakov, that every interaction with the world has the ability, every dvar harishus has the ability to be a spiritual elevating activity. Sulam mutzav arza v'rosho magia hashamayim. Sulam mutzav arza, the ladder is planted firmly in the earth, on the ground, in the physical world. But the head of the ladder, the top of that ladder, can reach to the most elevated places. Rosho magia hashamayma, that in every physical action we have the potential to transform that physical action into a super elevated spiritual activity. We even see this in the davening, in the tefillos. If you remember from the summer's man, those of you who were here, so Avram gave us shachris, Avram gave us the opening, the morning, the chesed, Yitzchak brought it all together at the end of the day to make sure that everything is structured with mincha. And what did Yaakov give us? Ma'ariv, which ironically is rishus. Ma'ariv is not required, it's rishus. And Ma'ariv is said in darkness. Yaakov's life was a life of darkness, confusion, difficulty. And the legacy of Yaakov is that we know how to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the, not when we're involved in some elevated spiritual activity, but when we're in the mundane, simple activities of life that have the potential to be confusing, trying to make a living, trying to get through the day. These have the potential to be very confusing, and they have the potential to be very elevating. We learn from Yaakov the power of Midos. Avram is Chesed. That was an extreme of Chesed. Yitzchak was Avoda Gvura, the extreme of Yira. Yaakov is viewed as Tiferet. Yaakov is viewed as the blend of those two extremes, and each extreme in a Midah has downside. That's why Avram's Chesed led to a Yishmael who doesn't know limitations, because Chesed unbridled can lead to a Yishmael. Yitzchak with his Gvura, with his Din, led to an Esav, where too much strictness, too much control leads to murder. Yaakov, mitatoshlema, Yaakov, all of his children were tzaddikim, because that perfect blend of the two extremes, that's Yaakov. It's not a compromise. Don't make a mistake to think that Yaakov was a compromise between Chesed and Din. Yaakov was the blend. He knew exactly when to apply, in what measure, Chesed and Din, and that's why we call Midos, Midos, measure. We're measuring the proper use of each character trait, and we don't follow our instincts. So we have a very famous Musar Vort in the beginning of this week's Parsha from the altar from Slabodka. So Yaakov comes to the place, he's going to sleep, gathers the stones, goes to sleep, and when he has the dream of the ladder and the angels and the future of the Jewish people, and he wakes up, and he says, Achein yesh Elokim b'makom hazeh. Wow, I slept on a place where the divine presence is manifest. V'anochi lo yadati. And I didn't know that. So Rashi's bothered. Why? Who cares? You just had unbelievable spiritual revelations. Says Rashi on the spot, V'anochi lo yadati. And if I, ilu yadati, if I would have known that this is such a holy place, I wouldn't have gone to sleep, because it's not appropriate to sleep in such a place. Says the Alter from Slobodka, wait a minute. You went to sleep, and you had certain visions, certain prophecy, certain spiritual elevation, that had you not gone to sleep there, you wouldn't have had it. So let's ask now, in advance, you know that if you go to sleep, you're going to get all these spiritual accomplishments. If you don't go to sleep, you're going to miss out on all of that. So what would you do? I think each one of us would have gone to sleep. Yaakov said, it's not appropriate to sleep in such a place. It's not proper kavod. It's not proper respect. I forgo all of those spiritual accomplishments if the only way I can get to them is with an improper behavior, and improper to something that's physical. We learn here, says the altar from Slabodka, the idea of Midos. Rabbi Saul Salanter talks about the Jew who pushes everybody out of the way to get a good seat at the Musar Shmuz. In our striving for spiritual accomplishments, we don't realize how significant Bein Adam Lechavero is, how significant our Midos are. And this is Yaakov. We're not talking about an essay, we're not talking about a lotase, we're talking about the refinement of a spiritual personality, where now every activity becomes a spiritual activity. We see this idea of midos carry through to Rachel and Leah. There's the Medrash on the end of the psukim in the Haftorah of Rosh Hashanah. Famous psukim where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Rachel, min I kolech mi bechi, the Jewish people are going into exile. And Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov and Moshe, they're all coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they're begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have mercy on the Jewish people, and each one of them is turned away empty-handed. And then Rachel comes, says the Medrash. And Rachel says to God, I had mercy on my sister. She was about to be embarrassed, and to avoid her embarrassment, I handed over the signs. I withheld my instinct and had mercy. Therefore, I'm asking you to have mercy on my children. And the response there was, Rachel mini kolech mi bechi. Don't cry. Yesh tikva l'acharitech. And the Medrash says, because of Rachel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had mercy on the Jewish people as they're going into exile. This is an amazing idea. Avram is Moser Nefesh. Yitzchak is ready to be Moser Nefesh. Avram jumped into the furnace, and Yitzchak was ready to be sacrificed on the altar. And that didn't work. Rachel's giving over the signs to Leah, that's what worked. So I like to phrase it like this. Avram was ready to die as a Jew. Yitzchak was ready to die as a Jew. Rachel taught us we have to live as a Jew. Because she was going to have to wake up the next morning and for the rest of her life live with the consequences of that action. And she did it to avoid embarrassment to her sister. There was an old German phrase that was not aligned with the Torah view. You be a Jew in the home, you be a Jew in the synagogue, you be a German in the street. And we say, no, you're a Jew in the street, in your business, in every action. You have to ask yourself, what is the appropriate behavior, and be ready to live with the consequences. That's midos. That's not viewing Judaism just as a ritual activities, but it's daily activities. And even Leah. Leah, in response, when she was pregnant with her seventh child, davened that it not be a boy but be a girl, in order that Rachel should at least have the same number of children, says the Medrash, as the Shvachos. That's amazing. The sensitivity to other people. This is what we're learning now from these parshios. That this is really the foundation of what it means to be a Jew. It requires motivation. It requires purpose. Every action that you do has the potential to transform you into a more elevated spiritual being. According to the Ramchal, the same way taking your lulav and esrog and hearing shofar on Rosh Hashanah has the same power if you do it, we'll use a modern term, if you do it with mindfulness. Not sure exactly what that means, but that's what it means. Okay? I never understood the word, but I'm telling you that's what it means. So that's why we find that when Avram is promised Eretz Yisrael, it uses a limiting phrase. And when Yitzchak is promised Eretz Yisrael, it uses a limiting phrase. And when Yaakov is promised Eretz Yisrael, it says, Ufaratzta yama v'ked matzafon v'negba, says the Gemara, says the Medrash, based on the Psukim, that Yaakov is nachla b'li mitzarim. Yaakov's legacy is an unlimited legacy. Why is it an b'li mitzarim? Why is it unlimited? Avram's legacy is mitzvos esay. You can only do mitzvos esay at a time when there's mitzvos esay. You can't blow a shofar today. You can't take a lulav today, and you can eat matzah today, but it's not a mitzvah. So the mitzvos esay are limited in time and space. Mitzvos lo taseh, limited in time and space. But Yaakov's legacy is Bali Mitzrayim. It's unlimited because every moment in time and every place that you find yourself has the potential to be a mitzvah activity. That's a legacy. That's Nachla Bali Mitzrayim. But we've got to pay attention to it. We've got to appreciate the opportunities that we have in every interaction with the physical world, in every interaction with our fellow man, in every interaction in our business, in our families. In every interaction has the opportunity to be a mitzvah. That's the nachla of Yaakov that he left us, Bli Mitzarim, an unlimited legacy that can help us transform every challenge in the physical world into a spiritual accomplishment.